And welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, I mean, it's nothing new. We're gonna recap another loss. It's the fifth straight loss. Wizards fall 119 to 102 to the New York Knicks. Honestly, like in the end, probably closer than I like thought it would have been. The spread was about 13.5. They started off great, like they have most games this season, and then fell apart from that point on, especially in the third and fourth quarters, which has been a trend all throughout the season. So, of course, I'm gonna be here to break it down. But first, I wasn't here after the Magic game. I had something to attend to after the game. But I unfortunately watched it, like most of you. And if you wanna a quick rehash of my thoughts, just uncompetitive basketball. Again, 35-32 at the end of the first quarter. And then you get outscored by a lot in the second. The third and fourth are just uncompetitive, playing zero defense. Like the Magic's offense is not good. They don't have a good offense whatsoever, and you give up 125 points to them. You lose by nearly, sorry, you do lose by 31. You lose by 30. It's just another really bad loss. Again, this team, after beating Dallas, has had a bunch of uncompetitive double-digit losses, and it was just another example of it. So I don't want to get too much into the Magic game. If I recorded a pod, it probably at that time would have been way more animated than I am now. Another loss in the books, and it's just kind of normal at this point. But moving on to the Knicks, obviously 119-102. The Wizards played good in the first quarter. They played really good defense. I believe it was they only gave up 24 points through. Or sorry, 22 points through one quarter. They were up eight. They were playing very good basketball. Bilal Coulibaly was awesome. And then after that, they just, number one, stopped playing defense. And number two, stopped playing competitive basketball. And then number three, stopped competing in the game. Like it was just a blowout. Again, like the second quarter was worse. They were outscored by 11. They made a big run at the end of the half. They were up by four with 26 seconds left. And then you blink your eyes, it's halftime. They're somehow down three. That was interesting. And then in the second half, like it has been the last couple of times, they were outscored 82 to 48 in the second half, 241 to 24 quarters. Fourth quarters continue to be awful for this team. Again, like, or sorry, they were, never mind, I read that wrong. 41-24 in the third quarter. They were actually up 24-21 in the fourth. I guess I read that wrong. Nonetheless, a really bad third quarter. Second half is where they got outplayed. And it's just been a common theme around here where the Wizards start pretty well and can't close games, can't sustain that effort. When the other team makes an adjustment, and we'll get into that, believe me, we'll get into that. When the other team makes an adjustment, the Wizards seemingly don't have an adjustment to that adjustment, which again probably falls on Brian Keefe. So I'll talk about that later. But we got to start with the starting lineup. Again, like Chris Middleton was out. He had a left elbow contusion. He was a game time decision. They decided to hold him out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he's back next game. But obviously meant that it was a new starting lineup. They had just moved off of Bub Carrington 2 games ago. I didn't think they would bring him back into the starting lineup just because a forward was hurt. And I was correct. They replaced him with Champagny, who started. And I like JC. You know, I've been a really big fan of his. He didn't play well against the Knicks. He was a minus 24 in 17 minutes. But what I don't understand about Keefe's rotations and a lot of Wizards fans that commented under my tweets tonight had the exact same reaction. Justin Champagny played 20 minutes through the team's first 4 games. Or at least he only appeared in four of the team's first 6 games, played a total of 21 minutes. And then against the Knicks, he plays 17, nearly all of those minutes combined. He played 5 in the loss to Orlando, 4 in the loss to Oklahoma City, 6 against Charlotte, 6 against Milwaukee, had 2 DNPs, and now he's inserted into the starting lineup. Like, again, it's just like you're comfortable enough to start him and play him 17 minutes now, but even when he isn't starting and Middleton's playing, you don't feel comfortable enough to put him in your rotation. I don't get it. I would assume Keefe's just in there like I like Kispert and Whitmore, two forwards off the bench, and I don't really want to take them out of that role just for a game. Sure. But it's just really interesting to see that he's comfortable enough to trust Champagne to start, but he doesn't trust him enough to put him in his 8-9 man rotation. I again, the rotations I've talked about have been really iffy. And it's not like Champagne rewarded him. I mean, he, again, 20 minus 24, which was almost a team worst in 17 minutes. So I again, I didn't think he played well, but certainly the biggest thing that stuck out was the oddity of a guy not playing realistically. And then just coming into the starting lineup. We saw it a lot with Anthony Gill last year, where like he would sometimes start as like a small ball five, or he'd play good minutes one night and then just be a DMP for 5 games in a row. So that was definitely interesting. I saw a lot of comments, you know, why not Trey Johnson or Will Riley that starts there? I would assume they have a plan for both, and the plan for Trey is not for him to start yet. And then you also got to think about the defense. Like, are they good enough on that end to play against these starting caliber players from the get-go? I don't think so, and that's probably the case as well. Hopefully that answers your question. But look, like a synopsis of the game, like Beloki Labadie was I thought pretty fantastic. Fouled a lot, was a minus 13. That wasn't awesome, but shooting wise was great. Rebounded the ball well, defended well. He had 7 points on 3 of 4 from the field in the first quarter. Entered halftime with 15 points on 3 of 4 from three. He finished with 15.7 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals on 5 of 11, 3 of 5 from three. Again, like I thought he played really well in the first half, but this just seems to be, it's been a theme for Bilal. This is year three for him. It's been a theme for him his entire career. He plays very well in the first half, and he can't sustain it. It used to be Denny and Rui who were like this. Like Rui would explode for like 20 first half points, and you look at the end of the game, he's got 22 points. It used to be the same for Denny. Then they both kind of figured out, okay, they're kind of adjusting to me. How can I figure this adjustment out? And that's a step for Bilal. He's 21 years old. He's got to learn how to adjust to the adjustment. And seemingly it's been this case for most of his career. Like he has a good first half, good first quarter, and then it's like, oh, where did he go offensively? So I think in totality, he had a solid game, but it's got to, you know, be sustained production from one half to the other, and you just haven't seen too much of that throughout his career. He was also favoring his I think it's his right thumb that has the tape, the surgically repaired right thumb. He after a dunk, my guy Ben Strober texted me like, "Hey, like, do you see Bilal? He's kind of favoring that hand." And I was like, "Yeah, I noticed it." He was kind of wincing in pain, shaking his hand off a bit. Again, had the wrap on it, but seemingly isn't fully back, you know, and it seemed to be on, you know, several occasions where he was looking down and favoring that hand. It seemed to be in a little bit of pain. He played through it, you know, he played 28 minutes, but, you know, maybe that's something to monitor in the future. It clearly seems like it didn't deter him from shooting well. 3 of 5 from three is pretty good, but certainly worth mentioning about the hand, and obviously worth mentioning about him having to sustain through two halves as well. Look, the Wizards played again well in the first half, I thought, but it was the second half where you just looked up and it was like, how did this team was literally just down 5 points? How are they down by 20? Like, what is going on? It was realistically a sequence in the third quarter. I think it was 68-60. With 8 minutes and 4 seconds left. You blink your eye. There's 3 minutes, 20 seconds left in the third quarter. That's, again, less than 5 minutes elapsed. It's 91-65 Knicks. Less than 5 minutes, a 17-0 run. The Wizards didn't score for 4+ minutes over that stretch. And they somehow went from being down 8 to being down by 26 in 5 minutes. That's just impressive to me. Like, it realistically, you know, it seems like there's a run like that every single game. I'm gonna pull up because I knew I wanted to reference this on the pod because this happened again in OKC with 1:34 left in the third. OKC was up 83-81. You flash forward 7 minutes halfway through the fourth. OKC 112, Washington 89. Again, that's a 29-8 run. Pretty reminiscent of this run here in the third quarter that basically just ends the game right then and there. It's just a matter of like the Wizards coming out here and playing consistent basketball. They compete for a quarter, maybe two. But then they take others off, and then they take others off defensively, and then this is why you're losing games by double digits. This is why for a team, Will Dawkins said they're going to compete every night. Brian Keefe said we're always going to compete, and this team, apart from that game against Dallas and against Philly, has not sustained that compete level throughout the duration of games, and that's what that next step is. But it certainly hasn't showed itself. At this point, it's another second half where you're just getting completely blitzed, and you have no answer. And during that run, I mean, this was a theme. I didn't do a pot against the Magic, but this was definitely a theme the game before against the Thunder, where on that big run, 29-8, Keith called two separate timeouts, and each time it seemed like the runs got worse for the Wizards. The same thing happened again today with 5:48. Left in the third, Keith called a timeout. Obviously, the Wizards were down by 13 at this point. And then he let, I would assume make some adjustments to whatever adjustments the Knicks made. But they clearly didn't work because less than 2.5 minutes later, he calls another timeout. This time, his team is down double. They're down by 26. He called a timeout, I think, when they were down 13, and then calls another timeout when they're down by 26. I mean, it's just. It's crazy how the, I don't want to say the team's not responding to Keith, but the adjustments clearly aren't getting through, where the players aren't, executing the adjustments the way that they need to. But something is off. There were several plays where guys weren't on the same, wavelength defensively. You had some miscommunication on that end. Offensively, you had some unforced errors, which is again going to happen when your roster does not employ a point guard. There's no true point guard on this 15-man roster. You thought Bub could be it, and we'll talk about him in a second. I thought he looked good for the first like 2 or 3 minutes. Had some really strong plays, good passing, and then he was awful again. And we'll talk about it in a second. But it seems like the team is just not responding to Keith's adjustments. It also seems like Keith can't adjust to the adjustment. Like, it seems like the Wizards have a good game plan. And if you remember the Wes Unseld Jr. days, this was also a big thing where the Wizards would get out to these big leads. The other team would adjust, and then they'd fall apart and end up losing by double digits after leading by, 10 plus points. It seems to be the same thing with Keith. Like, you play a good first quarter, there's an adjustment in the second, you sort of weather the storm, but you still go down trailing into halftime, and then there's a big adjustment coming out of halftime, and you have no answer whatsoever. No matter how many timeouts you call, the Wizards had one timeout left with 3 minutes, 20 seconds left in the third. So he's trying to adjust. I'm not going to say it's a bad, lack of effort. So it's, whether Keith's adjustments aren't working or the team, young team at that, isn't executing them. I don't know which one it is, and I don't need to assign blame to let you know that it is bad, it is an issue, and it is something that needs to be resolved and pretty quickly as well. So that was definitely some things that I saw. It's been a little negative, I think, to begin this pod. So obviously, like I do for most pods, there's positives. There's also negatives. But I want to dive into the positives before I go into the negative. So it's not just a barrage of 20 straight minutes of negativity. I thought Bilal was good, and I already talked about him, so I don't want to harp on him too much. But it's another game. This was only his third game back. He was awesome against the Thunder on both ends. Thought he was good against the Knicks on both ends as well. Magic was all right, but I really like what I've seen from Bilal since he's returned this season. I really liked Alex Sarr's game offensively. Defensively, not good. He got blown by on several drives. Cat put him in the rim on multiple occasions. What did Cat finish with? 33 points, 13 boards, 5 assists. Shot 3 of 8 from 3. There was a game plan decision of them to let him shoot 3. So I actually don't think that was bad, but he was a plus 13. Kind of had his way with Alex. Maybe not a good matchup for Sarr, but certainly not good on the defensive end. He was awesome offensively. There was a couple plays. He had a couple putbacks where, like, he'll miss a shot, and instead of like going up to tap it, he attacks the ball with two hands. He had a putback dunk from a miss he had. There was a particular play where he made a really tough catch and laid it in. The hands have been an issue for him. I thought the hands were better tonight. Doesn't mean that they're back or they're good, but I did think that they were improved tonight. Had a couple of he had a really nice turnaround on Cat, backed him down into kind of the low block and couldn't get much further, and then turned around over the left shoulder. Drilled nothing but net. So you're starting to see the levels of his offensive game. Missed all 3 of his threes. So that's not great, but finished with 19 points, 8 boards, the 7 assists. And I've talked about his passing out of the short role. I've talked about his passing when he's kind of that offensive hub at the top of the key, like you see with Jokic, where you got a lot of movement around him, and he got to pick. He's got to pick some backdoor cuts or pick some cross court feeds or skips into the corner. And I thought he did a really nice job of deciding those tonight. 7 assists, finished with 2 turnovers. It's a 3.5 to 1 assist turnover ratio for a 7-footer. Like, that's not bad. It's actually pretty good. So I really liked what I saw from him overall. Finished with 2 blocks, 1 steal. So again, the defense individually on Cat, I thought wasn't terrific. I thought his rim protection was all right. But I really thought it was another showing of Sar. Promising showing at that, where you're starting to see this stuff build as the season goes on. I want to pull up a tweet that referenced Sar from my guy Damo. The only players in the NBA that are averaging a minimum of 17 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks, Alex Sar. That's the list. That's it. Alex Sar is the only player to be averaging those numbers. If you look at the 2024 draft class, like, Castle's been all right this year, pretty good, but I mean, look no further than Sar, who's been one of the more promising second-year guys. Clearly got bigger, stronger, changed his game for the better. I mean, 3 threes last year would have been a really small number for this guy. And I thought he settled a couple of times tonight. But nonetheless, 8 of 16 from the field again for a guy that shot 39% from the field last year. He's consistently shooting above or at 50% this season. So the shot diet's great. The passing's great. I've liked his activity on the boards. The 20 points again on efficient shooting. Really liked what I saw from him. It's another polarizing performance from Keyshawn. 15 points, 5 boards, 2 assists. Finished with 3 steals and a block. I thought he was awesome on defense. I thought he was a great creator for others. Had a couple really nice pick and rolls. Had one particular with Sar where he kind of drew 2 defenders, shielded one off, and then had a wide open Sar at the rim for an alley-oop. That was great. Shot 6 of 11 from the field, 3 of 6 from three. Again, the 3-point shooting from George has been awesome. Again, this is a small sample size through 7 games, but this season he's shooting 54% from three, and that's on like a high volume of attempts as well. 55% from the field. I mean, he's just been awesome from three. He's been efficient from the field. He's been great in a lot of areas. But what continues to plague him are turnovers and fouls. Today against New York, he kind of solved one of those issues. He picked up a foul in the first like 2 minutes, 3 minutes of the game, finished with one, didn't pick up another foul, thought he played aggressive defense, but did it without fouling. So that part was solved. The issue again is the turnovers. He entered this game averaging around a little over three. He had 4 again tonight against New York, and that's going to happen, right? It's realistically his first true reps as like this on-ball creator. You have no real point guard in this lineup. We know CJ McCollum doesn't really pass much, and so you're kind of relying on Keyshawn on short notice to be this primary ball handler and to run your offense as a 21-year-old second-year player who's not equipped or really experienced to do it. And I think he's done a good job so far. In terms of that role, but obviously your turnovers are going to be a factor when you're that young and inexperienced, kind of playing de facto point guard. So, again, I liked a lot of what I saw from Keyshawn. The 3-point shooting has been a revelation. That's great. I like pretty much everything else. He kind of saw the foul issues tonight, and Keefe said after the Magic game he wasn't concerned. But again, the turnovers do need to be solved. Not concerned about that either. Like I mentioned, 21. You're kind of new to this point guard thing, but I liked his performance. And then we got to go to round out these solid performances with Corey Kispert. And like, I know he's caught a lot of flack from Wizards fans. I know on this podcast, for the most part, I've been a little down on him in terms of, his scoring production wasn't there on top of his defense being pretty poor. And it was just, not a good combination. But you come out here tonight, he played 15 minutes off the bench, had 15 points, which was 9 more than anybody else off the bench. 4 assists, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 of 4 from three, was a +7. I mean, realistically, other than Gil, or realistically, other than everyone that played garbage time, he was the only one that was a plus on the night, which is great. Whitmore, too, I guess, was the other one. But like, the team played better in the Corey Kispert minutes. He had a really tough three contested in the corner. Had a nice a couple of nice cuts and cut a couple of nice drives. Look, they were better with Corey in the game, and this might be the first time that I've confidently been able to say that through 7 games. But Credit where it's due. Corey was great off the bench in a game that the Wizards had not a lot of production outside of George, Koulibaly, and Sarr. And so, really, really good from him. Another guy that I actually liked off the bench was Branham. Like, he played how many minutes? 4 minutes, had 5 points, 2 or 3 from the field, made a three. I thought he popped a little bit. Again, garbage time, I know that. But he kind of caught my eye. And then another double-digit performance from Trey. 21 minutes, had 10 points, 4 rebounds, had a block too, which is nice. Always nice to see that. 4 of 9 from the field, 2 of 4 from three. So again, another game where he's shooting 50% from three, has double-digit points off the bench. Had some nice mid-range shots, man. I obviously hit the 2 threes, but his ability to get to his spots this early in his career at 19 years old is great. And I mean, the shot is so pure. I'm like at the point where it's like, yeah, that's probably going in. So again, solid performances from those five guys: Sarr, Bilal, George, Kispert, and Trey. Now we sort of got to get back to some of the negatives here. I kind of talked about Champagne, so I don't want to harp on him too much. Kind of similar to Bilal. I kind of want to take you into a moment with Cam Whitmore earlier in the game, because this was at least the second time this year my friend Wizards Film Room Kevin Foley tweeted it out. Like, it was another play in the second quarter, maybe it was the first, where Cam Whitmore had a fast break. The Wizards were playing well, and he just dribbled into nobody. Like, you had Brian Keefe screaming on the side, like putting his hand up, the universal sign, like slow it down, slow it down. Whitmore doesn't even care. Fully dribbles into the corner. There's a guy already standing in the corner, so that guy's man comes off. He helps. Whitmore turns the ball over. They go off, and you can literally see as the play happens, Keefe is irate. He goes over to his bench, calls over. I think he has Will Riley come in the game. I think it was probably at the end of the first quarter, but he has Will Riley come into the game for Whitmore. It's at least the second time, because the first time was in Dallas where he freaked out when Whitmore took a top of the key transition three when Keefe wanted him to slow it down, get it to a guard. Again, the body language hasn't been great. Another bad performance from him. He had 2 points in 11 minutes on 1 of 3 from the field. Was a +4, so the team was better when he was in. He had 2 turnovers. Again, it's going to be up and down with Cam. Like, maybe next game I'm going to be like, wow, this guy was great. 15 points on, efficient shooting off the bench. Had an emphatic dunk. Played solid defense. But you're also going to have games like this where, he kind of gets told off by the coach again. 2 points. Not a good scoring production night. That's unfortunately, I think, what you're going to have to live with Cam. So hopefully he can figure it out. But I don't think it's been the smoothest start to his Wizards tenure, 7 games in. Got to talk about Bob, man. Like, we talked about it last episode, and it just really hasn't improved. He still looks like he doesn't know what he's doing on the court. He started the game very well. Like, he had a couple of really nice passes. He had a cross-court feed to Kispert. Kispert made the three. It was a very nice pass. He ran a pick and roll with Bagley, kind of got the defender to bite, had a nice wraparound bounce pass to him. He passed the ball very well. He finished with 7 assists, which tied Sarr for the team high. Finished with 4 rebounds, but also had 0 points. He only took 2 shots, no threes, and was a minus 20 in 25 minutes. So, like, there's some good there. Like, I did like the way that he facilitated for others and created. But you obviously have the 5 turnovers, which is not good. 7 assists, like, great. But your assist to turnover ratio is horrible. You're probably giving the other team more points at that point, because the Knicks scored a lot in transition. Bob finished was a minus 20, like I mentioned. So, like, yes, like, there were some good. I did like some of the passing and the vision that he showed. But he continues to turn the ball over at an unprecedented rate. He continues to look lost a lot of times on offense. He's not giving you really much defensively as well. So hopefully they get it figured out. But I feel like we keep getting to this point where it's like, okay, like, we're now 4 games in, we're now 7 games in, and it seems like it's not getting much better. And eventually you'll hit that point where you're like, we're 40 games into the season. Like, what's going on with Bob, man? You got to figure this out. And he's 20. He's got a long ways to go. But the way he ended last season, how good it was, and to come this season and look like a shell of himself is certainly, number one, disappointing. And number two, a bit concerning. The longer this lasts, obviously, the more concerning it will be. But I again, this wasn't his worst performance of the season. But again, like the team was bad when he was on the floor. Five turnovers as well. Certainly not great from Bub. And then that kind of brings me to, I guess, the only guy I really didn't talk about. I mean, I can't speak. I didn't talk about Bagley, 6 and 7 off the bench. He was all right. The bench unit wasn't that great apart from Whitmore. Sorry, not Whitmore, apart from Kispert and Trey Johnson. But when you look at CJ McCollum, and I already know, like I mentioned a couple of pods ago, like anytime I talk about CJ, I can already feel like you guys listening, just like, yes, he's actually gonna talk about CJ, and he's gonna talk about this guy that we think has been absolutely, atrocious this year. And that's the case. CJ's been bad. He's been really bad. Look, right hand up, like I hyped him up in the preseason. He looked phenomenal. He looked like the efficient scorer he's always been. He just doesn't look like that at all. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the increased competition of regular season versus preseason. But again, it was just another night where I thought CJ McCollum was one of the worst players on the floor, if not the worst player for the Wizards. Coming off a 5 of 12 shooting night on 3 of 4 from 3 against Orlando, which honestly wasn't his worst performance. He comes out against the Knicks in 22 minutes. He has 5 points on 2 of 9 from the field, shoots 1 of 6 from three, 2 assists, 1 rebound, not really giving you much. There were a lot of shots, and this has been a theme for CJ where I'm like, swing, 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 swing. Like, there seems to always be an extra pass available when CJ takes a shot. And that was the case again against the Knicks. I thought there were a couple times he had open shooters and open teammates, and he decided to take it in. He's a score-first player, so I understand, that happening sometimes. But at the end of the day, it was another bad performance from him. He's shooting 37% from the field this season, 38% from three, which isn't that bad, honestly, averaging 14 points. So, like, overall, his numbers aren't as bad as they honestly seem, maybe from just a wide-ranging view. But the last couple games, certainly that Philadelphia game, he has not been great apart from that OKC game. And the Knicks game again was another time where I was just like, pass the ball. He didn't have it going. He forced a lot of shots, and I thought there were definitely some passes for open teammates. So that was definitely another interesting take. And the last guy that I kind of want to talk about is Keefe. For the people that are blaming Brian Keefe for this 1-6 start and saying it's solely on him, I think that's disingenuous. I don't think it's fair to blame this on anybody. What I will say is that Brian Keefe came into the season saying that it was defense, 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 defense. To this point, the defense has been horrible. I mean, this is a team that, I mean, Brian Keefe, I will give him credit. Like, we'll take away the games before he was a full-time head coach. But he's been the full-time head coach of this team for, since the beginning of last season. And in the 89 games the Wizards have played with Brian Keefe as the full-time head coach, they have given up 100-plus points in 88 of them. Do you want to know the one outlier there? A 99-point performance against the Brooklyn Nets. So in Brian Keefe's tenure, opponents have scored over 99 points in every single game that he's been the full-time head coach. And to be quite honest, most of those you can stretch to 110 plus, 115 plus. They gave up how much? Over 150 points last year when they lost to Indiana by like 70 points. Like, it's just been non-existent. It's one thing to preach defense, but it gets stale. It gets old when you're preaching and preaching and preaching, and you're seeing nothing. The Wizards entered the game against the Knicks averaging or allowing 128.3 points per game, which was dead last, 30th in the league. They follow it up with a solid first quarter, giving up 22, and then they end the game giving up having given up 119 points. They have now given up over 119 plus points in 6 of their 7 games this season. The one game, you ask, that they didn't give up that many points, their only win against the Mavericks, they gave up 107. It's so obvious that defense is what will win this team games. I don't know if it's a lack of buy-in or a lack of skill or a lack of defensive adjustments or game plan. I don't know what it is, but this team's defense has been abysmal. There's so many miscommunications, so many missed assignments, so many times where guys are just fouling when they shouldn't be. It's kind of, I don't even know how to describe it without like cursing, but like, it's a shit show. Like, It's bad defensively. And for a team and a coach that has harped that throughout the offseason, throughout training camp, and throughout the early part of the preseason and the regular season, it's not there. It's not there, and I don't have any reason to believe it's going to get better. Like, these guys are trying to build good defensive habits, and you're just completely getting gashed on that end night in and night out. That can't be good for development. It can't be. And so hopefully that gets cleaned up. Apart from that, I'm just going to look over my notes real quick to make sure. I do want to know. I mean, Miles McBride, if you're watching this game, he had two hard fouls. Like, he kind of grabbed Will Riley's shoulders and yanked him back when he was in transition. Probably should have been a flagrant, at least a tech. Didn't call anything, just a common foul. And then he like jumped on top of Sarr, grabbed him by the shoulders again, and yanked him down with him. They called a flagrant one. I wanted to note that. Like, I just remember those being some pretty dangerous plays. Apart from that, I did want to make note of one thing before I let you go. I probably would have talked about this had I recorded one after the Magic game. But I'll talk about it now just because I remembered it. I watched the Magic press conference, the Keith postgame presser after the Magic game. And I mean, granted, that was a 31-point loss. The defense was horrible. You're up three at the end of the first quarter and then basically checked out from that point on. Another game that it was, pretty uncompetitive basketball. And if you look at the Wizards' schedule, they have now lost all six of their losses, by the way, have been, sorry, five of their six losses have been by double-digit points. If you look at their last three losses, they are by a combined, let's see, 17 plus 31, that's 48, and then another 19. 67 points they've been outscored by in the last three games. You factor in the 26-point loss to Charlotte and the 5-point loss to Philly, and that gets a lot worse. But you're basically losing by double digits a lot. It's uncompetitive basketball. That Magic game was your fourth straight loss. It was a second straight loss by 19-plus points. And you go into the postgame, and I just wanted to listen to a couple questions for Keith. And I was just met with a couple. I mean, it's all monumental employees. I've talked about monumental on this pod before, but I think it's gonna get when the Wizards, hopefully, for their sake and for the fans' sake, become a competitive basketball team. I think it's gonna get to a point where people are gonna start to see like they just lost by 31. The first six questions of the press conference, I believe, went to employees of Monumental Sports. And a lot of the questions are like, your defense, looked really bad, but I thought this was good, spinning it to a positive light. And I found that interesting. I again, it's not that big of a deal now because the team isn't good and nobody really cares or probably watches those press conferences. But like, imagine, after that Commanders horrible loss to the Seahawks on Sunday night, like, obviously the first question is going to be about Jaden Daniels dislocating his elbow. But like, imagine the next couple questions are just like by employees of the team, and they're like, "Hey, Dan, we know you made a bad decision there to keep Jaden in, but Chris Rodriguez finished that drive off with a touchdown. Talk to me about his production." You're kind of sitting there like, why are we not asking him about why he kept Jaden in? Why are we not asking him about Joe Witt and his job security? You know what I mean? Like, again, this is probably not an issue now. It was just something that I wanted to make note of. I think that's gonna come up at some point, later on when the team becomes more, competitive and people are tuning into those. But just definitely something that I noticed as well. But apart from that, again, it's another pretty non-competitive loss. It's another loss where the second half they collapsed. It's another loss where the other team adjusted and Brian Keefe seemingly had no answers to those adjustments. It's another season again where the Wizards, got a nice win early, but it seems like it's going to be downhill from this point on. I mean, five straight losses. You're now 1-6. If you look at the team's schedule, and I'll try to pull up the Wizards' schedule now. It's not like it gets much easier for them. They're at Boston next game. They just lost to the Jazz, actually, so maybe they can win that. Then you're home against Cleveland and Dallas, at Detroit, at Houston. So again, you could be looking at another double-digit losing streak. I think they've had three 17-game losing streaks under Brian Keefe. Somehow they've always not reached that 18th game, but they've had three such streaks. I don't think this will be another. Again, like, they have Brooklyn at home in five games, and they haven't won a game yet. So maybe they can win that, but if not, then you're definitely staring down the barrel of another long losing streak. So hopefully they can get it figured out. Like, this is just another non-competitive loss. You had some positives, you had some negatives. They're one step closer to being in the bottom four if you want to be positive. If you want to be negative, they continue to get outplayed. They continue to get out adjusted, and they continue to get simply outworked in a lot of these games. And obviously it's going to get more tiring as the season goes on, but one thing is certain, I will be here to recap ideally every game from here on out. So thanks for staying with me. Thanks for listening to the pod as always. Their next game, like I mentioned, is Wednesday against Boston at 7:30. So I'll be back again post game for another pod. So be on the lookout for that. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks as always for listening. Go Wiz.